Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. We are continuing our study of the five characters that Walter Kaiser states gave us a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament in proclaiming God's promise plan and showing us that Christ being born was the continuation of the fulfillment of the promises that God had made in the Old Testament. We talked about John the Baptist and Zechariah and Mary. Today we are going to talk about Simeon and Anna, two wonderful godly saints of God that God used to show us that God was going to continue to fulfill his plan through Jesus Christ, this newborn son that was born in Israel. And it's a wonderful thing to see how not only God uses these folks in his plan of salvation, but he shows them and guides them in their own personal lives as he does it. He helps them grow in their own faith in Christ as he uses them. And as we looked at their lives, we have seen that, haven't we? We have seen that God uses people for his plan, and in the process of doing that, he helps them with their faith as well. And he will help us with our faith. So today, as we look at the lives of Simeon and Anna and how God used them in his plan, let's remember that God will use us and that he has a plan for us, and that he will deal with us in the same way that he dealt with those that he used in the birth of Jesus Christ. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I am so happy because of what you have told us in your word about your son Jesus. As I read this week about Simeon and Anna and the joy that they had in their hearts when they saw Jesus as a babe, I was filled with joy. Knowing that you have supplied such a great salvation to me and all those who are trusting in you and in your promises. Oh, Father, thank you so much for this joy. Thank you for the comfort that you give us from your word. I pray today that you would continue to do that in our lives, that you would bring comfort to those who are hurting, that you would allow us to have a source of peace and joy as we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. Lord, help us to understand that you have this plan for us, and that you are going to do great things through us as we trust in you. Father, help us to see that you will help us endure the hardships that come as a result of your plan of salvation. I pray that you would continue to use us for your honor and glory. Thank you for how you have spoken to our hearts already this morning as we praised you, and I pray that your spirit would continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I'd like to reveal to you about Simeon and Anna is that God's promise plan involves giving us hope in the face of death. God's promise plan involves giving us hope in the face of death. Now, in verses 21 through 30, we are told of a man named Simeon to whom God had revealed that he would see the consolation or comfort of Israel before he died. So this word is used by God, this word consolation or comfort. It's used by God in Isaiah when God is about to introduce his coming servant, Jesus, when he says, "Comfort, comfort my people." He says that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. So God's plan is to give comfort to his people. And that comfort is tied with the coming of his servant, Jesus Christ. And that's why we are encouraged to have comfort and joy at the birth, at the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. God's plan is for his people to have comfort. And God used the coming of Jesus to comfort the heart of Simeon through the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure it was very discouraging through the years for Simeon as he saw the spiritual decrepit state of Israel. And I'm sure it was very discouraging for him to see how people had turned their backs on God. But God had a hope for Simeon and all those who trusted in him. And that was that coming Christ. And particularly in Simeon's life, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would see the Christ before he passed away. That was a particular comfort that came from the Holy Spirit. You know what? The Holy Spirit comforts us too. Just like he did Simeon. As we look at this world and we see how it can get discouraging because of its lack of hope and its lack of mercy towards others. And we see the spiritual condition of people and how they turn their backs on God. The Holy Spirit of God will comfort us in our hearts. And he'll use the hope of his coming Son, Jesus, to give us that comfort. And that's what we need to see here, was that in spite of the discouraging times in Israel, the Roman government was ruling Israel, and worse was the spiritual condition of Israel. When Simeon got discouraged through the years, the Holy Spirit would comfort him with the hope that he would see the Messiah. That is the hope that we have. This is our comfort as well, because the Holy Spirit has confirmed to us that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again for our salvation. We have a hope that we will see Jesus. This hope gives us comfort in the face of death. You see, God operated in Simeon's life just like he does in ours. The Holy Spirit was working in his heart, giving him comfort and encouragement, just like he says he will do for us. Just like Jesus said when he said, "I will send the Comforter. When I go away, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." And that Comforter does something for us. He convinces us that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again for our salvation, and that he is coming again. He is coming again. And we will see the Christ. We will see the Christ. That is what kept Simeon going all those years. All those years of discouragement. All those times when he looked at the spiritual state of even the leaders, the religious leaders of that day, and saw the corruption that they had in their hearts. Saw that they had nothing, that they didn't want anything to do with a real relationship with God. And so Simeon was encouraged by the fact that he would see the Christ. And that is what we see here. Can you imagine the scene? Picture the scene as many people walk through the temple court. The temple is, you know, there's people walking through, some of them getting their offerings and then bringing him to the priests. And as they're walking around, and as Simeon's walking around, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, "There he is." Can you imagine that? There he is. And he looks over at a poor couple with a baby in their arms. And he goes over to that baby. And he knows in his heart, because of the Holy Spirit, that that's the Christ. Can you imagine how he felt as he looked into the eyes of Jesus and knew he was holding the Messiah, the promise of God, that salvation had come and he had seen the salvation of the Lord. You remember that joy in your heart when you felt that? When you felt that salvation had come to you? When you knew that Jesus Christ, you had met Him, and that salvation had come to you? That's the joy that Simeon felt that day. That's the joy I hope we've all felt. That joy that comes from meeting Jesus, knowing He is the Messiah, and knowing that salvation had come to you. I'll never forget that joy. I'll never forget the first Christmas that I had, knowing I had that joy. It brought tears to my eyes as I thought about the salvation of God. We know that Mary and Joseph were poor by the offering of the two doves. Now, the offering for the firstborn son was to be a lamb and also some doves and another animal. But if you weren't financially able to provide a lamb, then you could just purchase a couple of doves. And so we know that Mary and Joseph didn't have a lot of money when Jesus was born. It wasn't until after this that God provided some finances so that they could go to Egypt through the wise men. Remember that? The wise men, when Jesus was a toddler, came and offered gold, myrrh, and frankincense, and provided some finances for them that they would need, because they were going to have to go to Egypt for a while because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So there's a little side story there. Jesus provides for us, doesn't he? God provides for us, and he provides for us so that we can accomplish his plan. And he doesn't need rich people to accomplish his plan either. As a matter of fact, many times he uses those who don't have means in order to accomplish his plans. Now, God would supply what Joseph and Mary would need. And when he sends the wise men, he shows that he would do that. Simeon sees the baby Jesus and rejoices in the fact that he can depart in peace. Now, that's a wonderful phrase. Simeon could die in peace because he had seen Jesus, the promise of God. That's the ultimate wonderful hope that we have. We can face death. We don't have to fear death, do we? We can depart in peace now because we've seen Jesus. Because we know Jesus. Because we have experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ. We can depart in peace. So, Simeon could die in peace because he had seen Jesus, the promise of God. This is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. It is our comfort and peace in a discouraging world, and it is our hope in the face of death. Now, I want to call your attention to verses 34 and 35 in chapter 2. It says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" My second point is this. God's promised plan involves enduring spiritual warfare. Now, not all the good news about Jesus' coming was good news. Not all the news about Jesus' coming was good news. As we see here, now it's good news that he came, but there were ramifications to the coming of Christ. There were ramifications to the coming of Christ. After Simeon offers praise to God, he reveals to Mary some ramifications about the birth of Jesus. First, there would be strife caused among the people because of the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. This is what is meant by the fall and rising of many in Israel. There was going to be strife caused because some people would not accept that Jesus was the Messiah. Some people would reject him because of the wickedness in their hearts. They would reject who he really was. And they would reject him as their Lord and Savior. This spiritual battle would grieve the heart of Mary as she saw the wickedness of men revealed. And don't we understand that in our own hearts? We want to see people know Jesus. We want to see them come to him. We want them to know the blessings of peace and joy that come from having a relationship with him. But we see people, because of the wickedness in their hearts, reject him as their Savior, reject his Lordship in their lives. And it grieves our hearts, doesn't it? It's a burden that we bear. It's a burden that we bear as we go along in life, because we know the heart of God, that he wills that all be saved. And so when someone rejects his precious gift, it hurts our heart, just like it hurts the heart of God. And that's what Simeon was telling Mary was going to happen to her. She was going to be grieved in her heart because some would reject the coming Christ. Some would reject her son. Some would reject this wonderful gift from God. And it would cause strife among those who had accepted Jesus Christ. This was clearly the case when years later, Mary would cry bitterly at the cross of Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Jesus gave his life for those who were hanging him on the cross. Because of their wickedness and unbelief, she wept bitterly at the cross. As hard as it may be, God's plan involves us enduring the hardships that come because of spiritual warfare. It's just part of God's plan, folks. We need to understand that. But those that weep will bring forth fruit in its due season. Those who sow with tears will someday reap. Someday the crying will be over. Someday the bitterness will end. Someday we will be able to say, God did it all, and he worked it all out. And we can rejoice in that. But we must understand that in this life, we will have to endure spiritual warfare, and it will bring us hardship. But we can endure. It is sad to see the state of those who reject Jesus as the Savior. It is difficult when people lash out at us for presenting the gospel to them. But this is God's plan for us, and we need to accept it as Mary did. Mary didn't stop serving God because of this, even though she knew Simeon's words were true. She kept serving the Lord. She kept doing what was right, and we can do the same. And finally, I want us to look at verses 30 through 32 and 36 through 38. Look at verse 30. It says, this is Simeon speaking. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Now skip down to verse 36. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, But serve God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in the instant, that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Finally, God's promised plan involves the service of seasoned saints to proclaim the arrival of Jesus. God's promised plan involves the service of seasoned saints to proclaim the arrival of Jesus. Now, we are told that Anna was married 7 years and was widowed for 84 years. Now, if she had married at 15, which was common back then, she would have been 106 years old at this time. So God was using this lady who had been around for many, many, many years, and she was still serving God in the temple, and God was still using her. And even at the age of 106, God had a wonderful, special task for her to do. We are never too old to do something special for God. God has a plan for us until he takes us home. And he will use his seasoned saints to do wonderful works. And it should be an encouragement for us to serve God all the days of our lives and to never give up on that service. As a matter of fact, I believe God prepares us and through the years as we gain a closer relationship with him, as Anna did, that he will give us a special grace to perform special tasks that only seasoned saints can do. And that's what we see here in Anna and Simeon. Simeon was also someone who we would call a seasoned saint. You know, he had been told throughout the years that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Christ. And I imagine there were many years that had passed before that was actually the case. But this, like Simeon, Anna had been used by God in a time when those who were supposed to be spiritual leaders were corrupted by greed and pride. F. Godet said this, "In times of spiritual degeneracy, when an official clergy no longer cultivates anything but the form of religion, its spirit retires amongst the obscure members of the religious community and creates for itself unofficial organs, often from the lowest classes. Simeon and Anna are representatives of this spontaneous priesthood." So, in a time of this spiritual darkness, God raised up two seasoned saints to proclaim the arrival of God's promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. Notice what Simeon says in verse 30 through 32. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." This is what is said in Isaiah in verses 42 and 6 and 49, 6. Many years before the coming of Christ. Look what it says. This is a prediction. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness." And he's talking about his servant, who we know to be Jesus from our studies before. "And will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." You see that? You see the connection? "Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." You see, God's plan didn't just include Israel. Didn't just include Israel. Never did just include Israel. But the whole earth. All of mankind. Anyone, by the way, if you don't know what Gentiles means, it's anyone that's not a Jew. Anyone that's not from Israel. So that includes all of us. God's plan includes all of us. And God used these senior saints to point that out. Anna proclaimed the redemption of God to all those who would listen. That's what we're told. She went around just telling everybody. 106 years old, she was going around telling everybody about Jesus. What a wonderful testimony. That's what God will do for us as well. Even as we get older, even as we lose our energy, even as we may not be able to accomplish the task that we once did, God still has special tasks for us. He will continue to use us, and He will help us be effective as He did with Simeon and Anna. Jesus' birth was the revelation to the whole world that God was fulfilling His promise of salvation for mankind. This is what prompted Anna in her last years to proclaim the redemption of the Lord to all who would listen. God wants to use you, no matter what your age, to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, He can use you and your accumulated wisdom and experience from God to be greatly effective in your ministry to others. I want us to remember that. The birth of Jesus Christ is a source of hope and peace for us in the face of death. It gives us the comfort we need to endure the hardships of spiritual warfare. And it gives us the strength we need to proclaim God's plan even as we progress through the years.